Welcome to the Meditation for Health podcast. I'm Dr. Robert Puff. I want to keep encouraging everyone to meditate twice a day, once in the morning when we first get up, and again in the evening when we go to bed. I've been doing this for decades now, and I think you may find with me that this truly is a wonderful way to lead our lives. If you're new to the podcast, we rotate between three different topics on each podcast. One is a guided meditation. Then in the next week, we look at a research study that has recently been done on some aspect of meditation. And on the third week, we explore together the world of meditation. This week, we're on a research study, and we're going to look at a new study that was done at UCLA on how the brain may actually be changed in its structure through meditation. In my earlier ebook and audiobook entitled Meditation for Health and Happiness, I explored in that book how a study had been done at UCLA on the effects of meditation on long-term meditators who, compared to the control group, had more gray matter. Well, UCLA has done it again. They have done a follow-up study, which was led by Dr. Eileen Luders, L-U-D-E-R-S. This study consisted of 27 meditators who had been meditating from 5 to 46 years. So clearly, they were very seasoned, very adept meditators. They had 11 men in the study and 16 women, and then they had a control group, which was basically the same as the meditators, except they had no experience in meditating. Ages, sex, and everything was matched up. In order to look at the brains of the meditators compared to the control group, they use a diffusion tensor imaging device, or DTI. This device was able to look at how the brain is connected, how the neurons, our brains are made up of neurons, and how these neurons are connected. And they looked at, is there any difference between the meditators and the non-meditators? Let's see what they found. If you don't know anything about the brain, it has different parts to it. Just think of it as like our body. We have our eyes, we have our nose, we have our lungs, we have our heart. We have different parts of our body. The brain is broken up into different parts also. So what they did is they found that meditation actually affects many of the parts of the brain. Other studies have shown that it affects a certain part. They localized it, like the left frontal lobe for happiness and things like that. But in this study, because they used this new machine, they were able to see how, meditation not only affects certain parts of the brain, it affects numerous parts of the brain. Long-term meditation has an impact on the frontal, the parietal, the temporal, and the occipital lobes. It even affects the anterior corpus callosum, the limbic structures, and the brainstem. We're never going to remember all that. It's just think of it as it affects a lot of the brain when we meditate for a long term. But in what way? How does it affect these parts of the brain? Let's explore. What long-term meditation does is in all these different parts of the brain, white matter is either more numerous, more dense, or more insulated throughout the brain. In other words, the brain is just healthier and doing better. Because normally as we age, we have a decline in white matter tissue, which was found to be consistent in the control group. But with the meditators, their white matter was doing better. It was healthier, there was more of it, and it was just overall doing better. And as I like to say, that's pretty cool. A story about my grandpa may help illustrate this. When I was an undergraduate student many years ago at university, I had the privilege of spending some time with my grandparents. And during that time, my grandfather woke up one morning and he couldn't speak very clearly and part of his face was drooping. That's the best way I can describe it. It was like it was lazy and the facial muscles weren't holding it up. But within a week, he got back to his normal self. He was able to speak clearly and his face looked normal again. What had happened was he had a stroke. A stroke is where part of your brain dies. There's a blood vessel that often breaks and part of your brain dies. But because our brains, even though there's so many different parts of them, are interconnected, when one part of our brain is destroyed, the other parts of our brain can compensate. So my grandpa was able to speak more clearly within a few days because the rest of his brain, in a sense, took over and managed things. In this study, it suggests that when we meditate, particularly over long periods of time and regularly, as I advocate, every week, What happens is our brains stay healthy. So for example, if I were to have a stroke someday, my hope would be that my brain is healthy enough to compensate and I would be back to myself quickly. At least that's my hope. But the study shows that our brains do better when we meditate. They stay healthier, the interconnections are better, and we overall just do better. So given that, if you know someone who is concerned about their brain health, as we really all should be, then consider suggesting meditation to them, or equally as important, to ourselves. Meditation is good food for the brain, or another way of looking at it is, meditation is good exercise for the brain. Meditation is just good for our brains, so let's meditate. My guess is we're going to see a lot more studies like this as scientists discover instruments that are more proficient at looking at the brain. But if we were to start meditating today, and say 3, 4, 5 years from now, they really come out with lots of studies showing how good meditation is for our brain, we're going to be in a good place, because we will have had those years of meditation keeping our brains healthy and fit. Let's consider it. Meditation is good for our brains. So let's meditate. If you'd like to learn more about the world of meditation, please go to www.meditationforhealthpodcast.com. That's meditationforhealthpodcast.com. There are other blogs, podcasts, and a variety of things to continue our exploration into the world of health and meditation. Also, if you'd like to contact me directly, my email address is drpuff@cox.net. Until next week, peace.